The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Really? Welcome back to another Bastards post game edition of the podcast. Up late as the Red Sox are out west, and it wasn't pretty. You know, Tolley was in a duel against Paul Skeens and didn't look terrible. Tonight he was against E-Rod. And he looked terrible. What were your thoughts, Doug?
Yeah, he did. And it's E-Rod's first time looking good against us. We've crushed him the other times. But, you know, Tolley really struggled tonight. He struggled with his location. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not that down on it, really. I'm not, you know, I was really high on him. I still am. He's a 21-year-old kid that had, you know, location issues in his second start. And, you know, we don't need it right now. It's a bad timing for us, but, you know, these things are going to happen with a 21-year-old kid. And I'm not going to definitely not give up on the kid at all, but I'm not really even down on him. I'm ready for him to make his next start, keep him in the rotation. You know, the lineup came together late, but, you know, we weren't giving him any, you know, we weren't getting anything going on E-Rod. And yeah, he struggled.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not down on Tolley either long-term, but for 2025, I don't really know.
I just don't know who else. Like,
and he might be the best option. That's the bad news. That's the bad news. I tweeted out, I said, Dustin May was trash all along. He was trash before we got him. He's been mostly trash since we got him. Yeah. Kyle Harrison doesn't exist. I don't even know what the guy looks like, to be honest. And apparently he's got an ankle problem. Maybe he'll pitch. Maybe he won't. Maybe they're just hiding him because they don't have the confidence to bring him up. I don't know. I like to speculate, and that's how I'm speculating with that. But and then Tolley is not Paul Skeens. Like he was, like everyone seemed to think he was for four innings, as Randy from the stream tweeted out. So wasn't pretty. Offense pretty lackadaisical. And I know it looked like a bunch of magic was happening in that eighth inning, but Torey Lovello thought it was a good idea to bring in a guy with an 8+ ERA. And then I'm only like half-assed paying attention, and he finally makes the change from whoever that guy was. And I hear O'Brien say, and Lovello's going to go with the lefty. And I'm like, Romy and Refsnyder are coming up. He's going with a lefty. I'm like, all right, let's just steal the game. So I don't know what Lovello was thinking, but it was his own dumbassery that, you know, got that game as close as it was. And then Slayton, you know, everyone's like, oh, wait till Slayton comes back. And I, typically I'm pro Slayton, but, you know, I mean, he's not, he's struggled a lot since the second half of last year and struggled tonight, gave up three or four, had a wild pitch. So there's not a lot about this team that I feel real good about at the moment.
Yeah, I don't blame you. There's not the last, you know, week and a half have been tough, but the thing with Slayton too is like, I wasn't really one of these guys that's like, wait till he comes back. I was more like, we need him to come. Hopefully he comes back and he's good. Like, I was kind of just hoping he would instead of actually counting on it. And he hasn't proven it since he's been back that he can get to the level that everyone thought he was at the beginning of the season. People thought, you know, he was going to be our closer over Chapman. And, you know, it would have been real great for him to come back and start showing that he could be, you know, he could be our seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And the lineup, it's concerning, but I still feel pretty confident that, you know, Story, Bregman, Duran, Lowe, I still do feel pretty confident in these guys that we can have a decent month and keep us in at least that first wild card spot. And the Harrison thing, I said when Toley went out in the third, really my thoughts was this is a perfect spot to have Harrison. And, you know, that's just unfortunate that his ankle's too messed up to come up. I don't know, but seems to be. But I thought he should have already been up before his ankle got hurt. But I don't know. I'm one of these guys. Like, I'm fine with Toley having his bumps in the MLB instead of in AAA. I'm really fine with that. And I still think he's our fourth best starter.
I don't disagree with that at all, but I just feel like it's not good enough. So he'll start against Oakland, I'm guessing, unless they do something wonky. Maybe Harrison recovers and he slots in somehow.
Yeah.
I don't. So
hopefully we can just get to see what we have with him. At least hopefully he can make one start. You know, or pitch of it all.
It should be, if I'm not mistaken, the last game against, I keep calling them Oakland, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, yeah.
Against the Athletics.
Yeah.
And that's a dangerous lineup, and that's a hot team. That is a hot team that I know they don't have Kurtz, but, you know, the Diamondbacks didn't have their hottest hitter tonight, Lourdes Gurriel. He blew out his ACL, so he's done for the year. But I don't know. And I'm going to be honest with you. In recent shows, I've said at least once a show, I think we're a playoff team. I really think we're a playoff team. And then you lose your best hitter, Roman Anthony. And I, gun to my head, I'm probably going to say we're a playoff team. But that's a huge blow to my confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. It's obviously it's been telling since he's been out. It's obviously that there's a hole in our lineup. I still feel. You feel that we're a playoff team, but we're like the second or third wild card? Is that what you think?
We could slip all the way to the third wild card. The only thing I feel good about right now. And it's pathetic that I feel good about Romy Gonzalez, but he is your best hitter at the moment.
He's been playing great, yeah.
Maybe Bregman heats up and takes off, but he's hitting well under 200 in the last week, hitting like a buck 67. And then I think he's hitting in the last 2 weeks, he's hitting 213 with a 269 on base.
It's a rough month.
No home runs since August 12th. He did have two hits tonight, so that might have...
Yeah, and a big one too, so which was nice to see.
boosted those numbers against that terrible reliever, though. But we'll give it to him. We got to give it to him.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to see it go through, right? See it go through the net.
But so I only feel good about Romy Gonzalez, and I feel good about Whitlock, and I feel good about Chapman. That's it. I don't think there's anything wrong with Garrett Crochet or Lucas Giolito, but they're taxed. They're both coming. Well, I shouldn't say both, but Giolito's coming off of the bracing procedure. Didn't pitch at all last year.
Yeah.
Crochet did pitch, but it was only about 140 innings. So he's exceeded that. Hasn't looked great in like three of his last five starts. I think they're both running out of gas. And then we just spent the last few minutes talking about the back end of the rotation.
Yeah, the running out of gas, it does seem like the whole team is kind of running out of gas. All the depth we had in the outfield is gone, right? So it seems like we're kind of running on fumes to the end of this season. But I think, you know, I think we will – I don't think we'll drop to the third. I think we'll still stay above Seattle. We have a big series with the Yankees still to come. And, you know, we've proven that we play well against them. So if it stays within a half a game, I think that series will probably determine it. And I think that can make us hold on to that one spot that we just, the fact that we just beat up on the Yankees. But I still have, you know, I like to see, you know, Story and Bregman have some big spots there at the end, and Duran draw a nice walk. Those three guys really, really need to step up with the fact, you know, it's a 21-year-old kid that went down was our savior of the season. And they need to look around at each other and say, you know, this 21-year-old kid can't be the reason, you know, that we make or break our season. We need to be the leaders here. We need to actually really zone in, lock in, and carry this team this last month of the season. And if he comes back for the playoffs, he does. But I'm one of these guys that, like, I like to just get in because I think a lot of things can change when you get in. I still trust Bregman as a playoff competitor. And I still like our chances to be the one or two seed. And then I still like our chances in that wild card series.
I don't know. I don't know.
I just like our pitching in a three-game series against the Yankees of Seattle.
Well, Seattle's doing Seattle things. They've lost four in a row. They're just not an August, September team. That's 7 of their last 10 that they've lost. So, yeah, there's a very good chance that perhaps they slip out of it. The Texas Rangers keep losing guys, but they keep coming.
They won tonight, right? They walked off in Houston
in extra innings. Adolis Garcia went on the injured list today. I'm not sure for what. Nathan Eovaldi is done for the season with a rotator cuff problem. So, but they keep winning, and they did what they did in 2023. I mean, nobody was talking about them at this exact time that season. So, I'm not saying they're going to sneak in and win the World Series, but it's a team that definitely bears watching. The other team that's only a game behind them is the Kansas City Royals. They're 5-5 in their last 10, but they've won two in a row. So let's just see how the wild card. So the Red Sox are in by 4.5 games over Texas. So that's 5 games over Kansas City. This schedule is just, it's tough. Let's take a look at it right now. I know we go over it every show, but as the losses stack up, as we lose players, I'm going to say this is a tough schedule for the rest of the season. You know, you got 3 against Oakland in Sacramento. 3 against New York at home, 3 against Sacramento at home, 3 in Tampa, 3 against the Blue Jays, and 3 against the Tigers. All of those teams are winning right now. Yeah. Those are all teams that you don't want to be ice cold in the rotation, ice cold in your lineup. This is ominous.
Yeah. And, Jules is coming at me in the chat, but it's like, we're not beating NY again. I mean, I don't know why that's such a definite thing. We've owned them. So I don't know why, like, that's so off base to say that I expect to beat New York. We've owned them the last 2 seasons, but you know, it is tough. It's a tough schedule, but we're a good team. And I don't think 1 21-year-old kid going down should bury us. I think we still have very good pitching. You know, three very good starters is still a pretty good rotation with a great eighth inning guy, a great ninth inning guy. I like those odds. If you can get that number one playoff seed and the number one wild card, you can get a 3-game series at home. I would feel very good in that spot.
With confidence, I don't think we're going to be the number one wild card team. I just don't. If I'm wrong, I'll definitely own it. Believe me, I will. I've taken a lot of L's. Trust me. but I just, the momentum just isn't there. And I'm trying to get the pitching matchups for the rest of this series. I know we usually do that at the very end, but bad radio when I'm doing this way. But yeah, so we got Brandon Fought tomorrow, who sucks. Like, if you want a get right game, this is the get right game. Let's see. He's got a 5.33 ERA on the season. He really hasn't been good since the playoff run they had in 2023. And he had a really short leash throughout it, but still pitched okay for the innings that he did pitch. But just gave up 4 earned runs to the Dodgers. You know, on one hand, no shame in that. On the other hand, they're ice cold right now. They're going to make the playoffs, but I think they got swept by the Pirates earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And then the Brewers, who might arguably be the best team in baseball, tuned up Brandon Fought for 8 hits on 6 runs, still terrible, in 2 2/3 innings. So, and Giolito's going, I don't know what to expect there. If he sucks a little, that should be more than enough to get the W, I would say, with Brandon Fought opposing him.
Yeah, you would hope so, but I think so. I think I like to see, you know, the bats come alive at the end of this game. Everyone was up on the dugout, you know. It did feel like once we didn't get Hamilton in, the game was over. But, you know, this team has proven all season long that they bounce back. That right when you count them out, they bounce back. It's happened all season long. And I think now this is another time where they're dipping a little bit. Everyone's going to count them out. And I don't think it's crazy to think that, you know, they're going to bounce back again. They've done it all season long.
Oh, man. You've got some eternal optimism going, Doug. And if it's,
yeah. But am I wrong? I mean, they've done it all season long. They've bounced back from bad spots. You know, a sweep here, you know, that people think they're down. You know, we get rid of, we get rid of Rafi. We lose immediately. They've bounced back all season long.
Yeah, but our pitching hasn't been this bad since probably May, when none of them could seem to get through 5 innings,
right,
other than Crochet. So this is about as bad as it's been. I mean,
okay,
we don't have a four starter right now. It's totally because out of necessity. I mean, if this was the Dodgers, if this was the Yankees, if this was Houston, any team with a decent rotation, Peyton Tolley isn't on their roster. No way in hell is he being put in these situations. We're doing it out of desperation and necessity. Yeah. And it didn't go well tonight. So it's just the back end just really concerning. And I just don't know where the production is going to come from. You need so many guys to step up all at once, and it's not happening. But the Sunday game concerns me a little bit. And I think Bayo right now, I'm going to be honest with you, I trust him more than anyone right now. Even Crochet at the moment, until Crochet rattles off two in a row, and he's probably only has four left anyway before the postseason. Bayo's my most trusted guy, and he's the second half guy, as I always point out. So he's going against Ryne Nelson, but Nelson on Sunday, I mean, he's gone exactly six innings in his last three, hasn't given up more than three earned. He doesn't walk a ton of guys, strikes out, you know, six or seven usually. So that's not a good matchup for where we're at offensively at the moment. You know, unless something sparks tomorrow with Brandon Fott, and it could, but I think we're going to split the last two games here.
Yeah, I'm with you with Ombeo. He's fantastic. He's been spotting his pitches phenomenally all the last, really all season long, but really the second half. He's looked great. I really trust him on the mound. I trust him in a big game. He seems to really want the ball in big games. He wants the ball in New York. You know, those are things that you want to see from an ace, not from your number two guy, and he's delivering it. So that is, I feel confident for Sunday, you know, but yeah, tomorrow's a toss up. I would like to think we can get out of this series with a series win and build off these, you know, a big inning in the eighth. And what I would really like to see, if we can get some base running, some base hits in the first inning tomorrow, I would really like to see that. Then I think I would really like our chances in that game and in the next game. If we can just get going early and get the vibes going a little earlier, because it seems to be that they run off their emotions on this team, and they seem to be behind each other when it's going good, and that seems to really drive them.
I'm fairly confident the Red Sox will get the W tomorrow with Giolito. You get six innings out of him, two or three run ball. You only have to play bullpen roulette for one inning in the seventh. And then you've got Whitlock and Chapman to close it out. I think that's a reasonable roadmap to a win. And I'll say this, if I'm wrong and we lose to Brandon Fott, you're probably getting swept. But yeah, and then Sunday, that's the tough one. So I want to shift gears real quick. The news of the day on Thursday was that Alex Bregman is expected to opt out of his, he'll have 2 years, $80 million remaining on that 3-year deal. And my cat's trying to break in the room. Before people judge me, I do have two dogs. But I forgot where I was going with that. Who was I just talking about? Oh, Bregman. Yes. Yeah. I was shifting Bregman's gears.
See?
I should probably take Adderall as well, but I don't take any more pharmaceuticals. But yeah, so he's got 80 remaining. And what apparently he's going to be asking for is 5 years, $175 million. That's $35 million per. And you can kind of question the motives of why that report came out. Is that him and Scott Boras kind of putting up the bat signal for the Red Sox to swoop in and try to get something done? Or I don't know, but he's not a guy that has a ton of leverage right now, I don't think, with the way the second half has gone.
Yeah, Jeremy brought that up last night, that he thinks that the timing of this is very interesting. And I agree. You know, it's you know, because Bregman's usually, you know, not a guy that talks a lot about that kind of stuff. So for having it come out right now is definitely, you know, on purpose by his agent. It's definitely a move. And, you know, it's hard to off the rip, you would just say, well, no one's going to pay that. But then you kind of, you know, if he go, maybe he just would go to a bad team that would pay that. But I don't think any team that's really trying to compete would give him that offer. So I don't know, maybe, you know, he's just trying to start high and see what he can get.
Has he been a $40 million baseball player this year?
No.
No, he hasn't. So it'll be interesting to see where that market goes. I would not sign that deal. I mean, I don't think a five-year deal is the worst thing ever, but there's nothing about him that screams, this guy's going to age so good, you know, into his upper 30s, age 37. You know, and people say, well, the leadership, and he is a good leader. I'm not saying he's not. And, you know, he helps the kids and this and that, but I wouldn't pay that, and I would ride it out. And if somebody else is willing to pay it, have at it. Go sign, have fun with Alex Bregman.
100%. And, you know, he signed, we didn't sign him till February, right? He signed super late. You know, if February comes around and no one gives him that deal and he's willing to take a cheaper deal, I wouldn't be against signing him and bringing him back if it's just a different number, a different contract.
Well, that could happen. And, you know, nobody hates Craig Breslow more than I do, but he's right. Definitely not going to, you know, outbid himself. You know, we'll see what the market is. And, you know, last winter it fell right into our hands and we signed him. So, but I wouldn't sign that deal. And here's one thing to consider, though, and nobody's talking about this, so I'll put it into the universe. He has like 7 to 10 days. I forget what they all have. Everyone with an opt-out has like 7 to 10 days starting the day after the World Series ends. And, you know, they can look at the market. They can talk to other teams and then decide, do I want to opt out or not? There's a chance that maybe Boras and Bregman do. They assess the market. They call the Tigers. They call the Yankees. They call the Dodgers. Maybe they call the Astros again. Maybe they're that desperate, they'll call the Astros. Maybe the Giants want a Devers-Bregman reunion. I don't know. Crazier things have happened. And if all those teams are like, meh, then maybe they chicken out and they opt in. Because they're like, it's $40 million. Let's just do it. If you don't blow out your quad this year, maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll get a big four-year deal next year. Everybody, and let's not forget this, maybe it's a slightly apples to oranges comparison, but everybody always assumed JD Martinez was going to opt out. That was the talk in August and September. He didn't. He never really, outside of 2020, had a bad year. You know, and, you know, he had years where he slumped and perhaps years that were better than others, but he was very productive in all of the non-pandemic years.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody assumed he was going to opt out, but guess what? he never did, because they assessed the market and there was no market. So he stayed with the Red Sox. So there could be a chance that's what happens with Bregman, especially if he stays relatively cold. Now, he did drive in 2 runs off of a bad reliever. I'm not going to stop wearing that out for the rest of the night. But so maybe that's the spark. You know, maybe he hits at a 290 clip, draws some walks, maybe a couple of balls finally go over the fence. If he doesn't hit another home run for the rest of the season, that's bad. That hurts. That hurts the market in November. But you're going to have that minor league park in Sacramento. The Tampa series is in Tampa. That's a minor league park. So there's plenty of opportunities to hit home runs for him. But anyway, so I getting back to it, I'm not convinced 100% that he's going to opt out.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of foolish if he did at this. But I guess the only reason he would is to get a longer term deal, right? Instead of get more guaranteed money on the books instead of just a 1 year or 2 year. But I mean, that's a lot of money to walk away from and try to bet on yourself, you know. But again, you know, he could end the season great and then things would be, you know, it really all it takes is a couple weeks here at the end of this season and a lot of this stuff could look differently.
Let's say it slips down to 5 years, $150 million. That's probably still a good overpay, but that's 30 per year for 5 years. So you got that deal, 5 years, 150, or you can call up Kyle Schwarber and his agent. Is his agent Scott Boras? I want to say it might be. I can look it up here in a second, but you could offer him 3 years, 60. That's 20 per. He's going to DH. You got a million outfielders, especially if the password comes up and doesn't strike out in 3 out of 4 at bats. Yeah. But so what would you rather have? 5 at 150 for Bregman or 3 at 60 for Kyle Schwarber?
I'd rather have Kyle Schwarber.
I think that's the better value.
I like an everyday DH too.
Yeah, and you finally get rid of Yoshida, one would think. And they haven't really shown a willingness to, you know, eat money and just release him. But right, we'll see. Okay, so I was wrong. Kyle Schwarber is, his agency is XL Sports Management. And I know other big athletes in baseball also have them. It's not like the biggest you know, agency, but yeah. So I guess that's a little bit of good news. So I prefer Schwarber. You know, they're both leaders. I think they lead in different ways though. You know, Kyle Schwarber is all about, and this is just my read on it. He just seems to be more about, you know, being a professional and being accountable. Like that seems to be the type of leader he is. And then Bregman's, you know, more about, you know, growth and teaching and setting good examples. And, you know, so I think they both have two different styles of leadership. I don't think one is necessarily better than the other, but yeah. And Alex Cora was asked, it was at least a week or two ago, what his thoughts on Kyle Schwarber's free agency was. And Cora said, "I'm intrigued."
Yeah, it should be. I mean, that's what I like to hear. Let me throw something crazy at you. If this was the mid to late 2000s, we'd be saying sign them both.
Yeah, we would. And you could. You absolutely could, right?
That's what I'm saying. We should still be saying it right now. Sign them both.
You could. You never replace the Devers money.
Right.
And you got a ton of money coming off. You got I can't believe I just said that. You got Buehler coming off. Who else is coming off? You got at least one more. Oh, well, Giolito, technically, I mean, he's making 18 or 19. And I want to say there's one more relatively large contract coming off the books, but yeah. Schwarber, the only other complication is he is a lefty, but I'll pull up his splits right now. I think he hits lefties.
I don't think you're going to pass on a guy possibly hitting 60 home runs just because he's a lefty.
Oh, I don't know if he'll hit. If he was a righty, I would say, you know, it would at least be a pipe dream.
Yeah, Phillies, the bank's easy. Balls fly out of there.
Yeah, if he could golf him over the monster, then yeah, I'd say so. So, let's see. His career against lefties, he's only a 225 hitter, but he's only a 233 hitter against righties. On base is very similar, but his slugging is 100 points higher, and his OPS is 100 points.
Yeah, he strikes out a lot
against righties. So righties is his better side. Wow, yeah. So 259 career home runs against righties, only 74 against lefties. Let's just look at 2025 real quick. Against righties this season, yeah, it's pretty even. He's just got pretty even splits here. That's the on base. He's hitting 240 against righties, 245 against lefties. Actually hitting lefties slightly better. Yeah. 367 versus 363. Let's call that even. 561 slugging against righties, 585 against lefties, but he has hit 30 home runs this year against righties, only 19 against lefties. So
it's 19 still good for what, second on our team?
How many? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I would take it. He's proven that he can hit in Fenway. Right? He was electric for that half a season that we had him. Place loved him, he fit in. I think it might be hard to get him out of Philly, but you know, we're the Red Sox, and that's what we have to do. We have to go after guys like this.
Let me give you a proposition. Let's cancel Bregman. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll keep Schwarber there. Who's the guy I wanted all July? I wouldn't shut up about him. Remember?
No,
Eugenio Suarez.
Suarez, yeah.
He's a little bit older than Schwarber. I think he's going to be 34 this year. Let's say he gets either 2 or 3 years also at $60 million. So that would be 20 per. You could have Kyle Schwarber for $20 million a year. Mm-hmm. Eugenio Suarez at $20 million a year. That's exactly what Bregman's getting this year. And you can get those two guys. That's value. That is value. That's what I'm all about. Go get the value guys. Don't get like a regrettable contract. And I know Bregman will be fine for at least a couple more years, but his numbers were trending down coming into this year. That was the talk all winter. And that's why nobody signed him. And now he had a hot first half, made the All-Star team for only the third time in his career. This is his 10th season. Coming into this season, he had only made the All-Star team twice. And that's not the be-all and end-all, but I'm just saying. So his numbers were trending down. Yeah. Another guy's number whose numbers trended down and still are, and I would have taken a massive L on this, is Nolan Arenado. And he was the guy I was saying, well, go get him all winter long. I was like, get Arenado. And he's ice cold. And if you look at their Savant charts, Bregman still, it's much redder in a lot of different areas than Arenado's is. But I just think, I'm all about value.
Yeah.
So
if you sign Bregman to a deal like that, you would have to win the World Series within the first two, maybe 3 years. To make the last two, when he's not giving you as much, then it's worth it because you did win. But you would, if you signed with a deal like that, you would absolutely have to win, or it's just a bad deal. But I can put up with 2 years of bad if you win a World Series.
He might not opt out. I'm the only one talking about it, but
yeah,
skeptical. I'm skeptical. But all right. And I thought I had one more thing. Oh, and in terms of value, this is another comp. How did you, or were you a David Price guy or no?
Yeah.
Oh, Doug, man. I mean, hated David Price. That's fine. No, it's fine. There's at least one other guy on the crew that I'm sure was a David Price guy. But
wasn't like a David Price guy, but I wasn't I didn't hate him.
I hated that guy. I hated him when he was a Tampa Bay Ray, and then I hated him even more after he got here. He was always on his high horse. I just didn't like him. But what I was getting at, and the day he was signed, I didn't love it, and I probably pouted a little bit, but at least we had an ace because we hadn't since Lester left. But when I gave that Schwarber, Eugenio Suarez comp where you could pay them to the same exact money that Bregman was making this year annually, yeah. $40 million for both of them versus $40 million for one of Bregman. And an example I've given from a pitching standpoint is you take that David Price contract that was 8 years, $217 million. It was the second or third highest pitching contract of all time, I think. And maybe it was number one. I don't know. Let's just say top three.
Yeah.
If instead you gave Lester that 5-year, $110 million deal that he would have signed for. He ultimately signed with the Cubs for 6 years, $135 million. But if you ultimately gave Lester the five at $110 million, and then you traded for Cole Hamels, who was still very good at that time and was very good for at least three or four more years, the money he had remaining on that Phillies contract was the same exact money as the 5 years, $110 million. So you could have had Lester and Hamels for exactly what you paid David Price for. And then Price, I mean, you got a World Series out of him, but I will say he sucked until game five of that World Series against the Astros.
That's great.
Got destroyed against the Yankees. Didn't even get out of the second inning. Didn't pitch great.
Then he won the clincher.
Well, he had one start against the Astros that wasn't great. Marwin Gonzalez hit a grand slam off of him, and then he came up against him in the fifth inning, and Cora got him out of there. So it was an abbreviated start. The Red Sox did go on to win that game. And then the next start was when he finally got it going.
I remember the day we signed him, I had a big argument with a coworker the day we signed him. He hated the signing. He was with this too much money for this guy. He's washed, all this stuff. And I told him, we're going to win a World Series with David Price. And I felt, you know, maybe it's too much, but to me, winning is very hard. Winning a World Series is very hard. And if you can capture one, you do it.
Yeah. And he was, you know, a big part of it. And, you know, Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi had some.
Yeah. He wasn't the biggest part of it, but, you know,
he was
part of it.
The problem I didn't like was he was extremely combative with the Tampa Bay media. If there's any media you should not be combative with, it's Tampa Bay. Okay. They're the lowest paid guys. There's nobody in the stadium watching you play. And I'm like, and he's going to come to Boston and, you know, not run his mouth and, you know, be beloved. I mean, he lost the fan base like in what ended up being his second season. In spring training, he said Red Sox fans don't understand baseball. And then you had the Eckersley controversy on the charter flight. It was over after that. And then the next year he was playing hooky because he didn't want to pitch in Yankee Stadium. So he had carpal tunnel is what they went with. I don't think he had carpal tunnel. Yeah. But it ended bad. He never got the fan base back. And the other thing I love to point out about David Price, I never thought we'd be talking 7 minutes about David Price on this podcast. But the other thing that I like to point out is his first year was 2016. Who was still on this team in 2016? It was his last year.
Ortiz.
Yeah. David Ortiz was David Price was a choir boy that whole season. Ortiz retires. He's no longer a presence. And then he goes off the rails. So I don't know. I hated David Price. But
I wasn't some big David Price guy. I don't want to make it seem like that. I just don't feel like that.
He's my least favorite Red Sox player of all time. Jason hates him. I think Charlie hates him. And I know Jeremy hates him because Jeremy and I were just doing the post game after the World Series. And we were saying kind of, Price pitched that game and, so we weren't killing him, we're not trying to hurt the mood, but then Price gets up there and he starts like asking for his flowers from the writers. You guys said I couldn't win the postseason. Yeah. How do you like me now? Those weren't his exact words, but that's essentially what he was doing. And then Jeremy goes off the rails. We did not say any more nice things about David Price. And so anyway. So I was just talking value, and I'm a big value guy. We're going to have tons of flexibility with pitching if we're willing to spend or trade. I don't know how much trade capital we really have. Who the hell wants the password after that shit show? I mean, I'm sure it'll be all right, but. So anyway, it's 1:30 a.m. We're up talking baseball because
we're talking David Price.
We're committed to doing post games. Next week's going to be wonky because we have two really late Oakland games. I'm guessing most everyone will catch it the next morning on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But there will be post games. It'll be me and Jason on Monday, me and Charlie on Tuesday, and then we'll fill out the rest of the week as we go. But everybody enjoy the rest of your weekend. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.